This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Observe Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com and the super site for Windows. It is episode 225, this 15th of April, tax day here in the United States, even though taxes aren't due until, I think, Tuesday. But good to be with you here for our show. We got a good rundown of some additional updates about Windows 10 Creators Update. We've got information about the next version of Windows 10, that's the big feature update called Redstone 3 right now, codename Redstone 3. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some security vulnerabilities right off the top of the show, because this is kind of what's been hot in the news this past week. I want to start off by reminding everybody that you can find the show at WindowsObserver.com, or you can go to observe.tech.com to find the podcast. So let's start talking about these vulnerabilities that were brought out this week. So you may have read in the news that there was a large release of exploits that were made publicly available by a hacking group called Shadow Brokers. So there was some concern around this. There was some quick reporting on this that said that their Windows was vulnerable, turn off your Windows, all kinds of crazy stuff that usually happens around these kind of issues. Well, the team from the Microsoft Security Response Center has posted late yesterday, that they have taken a look at these exploits, investigated them, and tried to figure out whether or not there are concerns or not. And out of the batch of things that were released, all but three have been patched already by Microsoft. Some as recently as last month, but the vulnerabilities that those exploits take advantage of have been dealt with. There are three, and I've got a link top of the show notes page about protecting customers and evaluating risk from the principal security group manager, Philip Meisner, at Microsoft. And excuse me, it's got the name of the code name of the exploit and what it is addressed by. And then the three that are not covered, they actually tested the exploits on them, and they cannot be reproduced. So that's a good positive. Now, if you are running older versions of Windows or Exchange, you don't have any risk there, but they do recommend that you get up to date, make sure you got all your patches installed and everything like that. So, you know, you got to be careful with the headlines. A lot of the headlines this week that I saw were as Windows vulnerable, Windows could be hacked this weekend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it turns out there is not that kind of risk out there unless you are on a very old version of some of this software, or you have not updated and installed all of the patches, even as recent as this past month. So please make sure you do that. Now, talking about Security Guide, this past Tuesday was Patch Tuesday for Microsoft for the month of April, and they have changed over. There are no more security bulletins being released for the updates that they issue for the various supported versions of Windows and other software from Microsoft. They do have what's called a Security Update Guide now. It is a searchable, sortable, even has an API that you can build your own grab of that data if you want to. A lot of people showing some confusion about it, talking about it on social media. I found an awesome post from one of the TechNet blogs that gives a hands-on on this new security guide, including annotations of the different parts of the screen that you'll see that will help you find the information that you're looking for so you can stay up to date on the latest security updates that are coming out for all of the Microsoft software stuff. So you want to check that out as well. It's a really, really handy post. Let's see, what else have we got here? Let's talk a little bit about Windows 10. Thursday night, I appeared on the Home Gadget Geeks podcast, episode 305. I was on there with Jim Collison, a fellow MVP, and we talked a lot about the Windows 10 Creators Update. So if you wanted to hear more about the Creators Update, make sure you go check out Jim's podcast. I always enjoy getting on the show with Jim. He has me over there a couple times a year to talk around the biggest updates and stuff going on with Windows 10 and Windows in general, Microsoft in general. This past Tuesday, Patch Tuesday, not only did we get a batch of updates and cumulative updates and things like that for all the production versions of Windows 10, every production version from the original release on Windows 10 got updates this past Tuesday, as well as Windows 7 and 8.1 and all the other supported OSs and software. But the big deal also on Tuesday was that the Windows 10 Creators Update hit general availability official. So you may remember the week before, on the 5th of April, Microsoft made that release available early to advanced users, enthusiasts, early adopters, whatever you want to call it, and they made the official build available for download. This past Tuesday was the official switch. Now it's available via Windows Update, and that's going to be that staged, steady stream rollout that they said could take several months before everyone gets offered the Creators Update. So, you know, I talked a lot about it on the podcast with Jim the other night, and I talked about it last week on this podcast. The Creators Update is a solid update, lots of under-the-hood stuff. You got some great tweaks on the surface of different things and some capabilities that have been added. And it, you know, there's nothing earth-shattering in this update, but it is a solid update. And I highly recommend that if you are on an older update of definitely Windows Anniversary Update, come on up to the Creators Update. If you're older than Anniversary Update, you should as well. So Microsoft, that meant on Tuesday, Microsoft released their bevy of information concerning the Windows 10 Creators Update. So if you go to the Experience blog, the Windows Experience blog, which I've got links to all these stories in my show notes like I always do, you can find out what's new in the Windows 10 Creators Update, the summary from Microsoft. They've got a lot of videos integrated in that, plus the This Is Windows team, or This Week in Windows. They also did a special 15-minute video highlighting the different areas the Windows 10 Creators Update has updates in. How to get it, again, a reiteration that it's available via the Update Assistant, that it's available via the Media Creation Tool, and now it's available through Windows Update for consumers. And of course, for the IT folks, MSDN got the new ISOs last week, so they're available. May 1st is when volume license customers will be able to get access to the upgrade. Let's see. Privacy settings. Again, a whole special blog about the privacy settings. I've talked about them before. Lots of solid upgrades with the privacy settings, and you will get asked when you upgrade to Creators Update, you will be prompted to answer about eight or 10 privacy related settings before you're even let into the new OS. So this is part of Microsoft's effort to make that privacy stuff more obvious and give you the choices early on. Excuse me. Let's see, Microsoft Tips app. They pointed out this Tips app. It's a universal Windows platform app that you can download. It used to be called something else, and I don't remember what it was called, but it is now called Tips app. And basically, that is the best tool. If you're wanting someone to learn about Windows 10 and specific around the Creators Update updates, this Tip app is great because it's all categorized and video-based and written-based, a lot of photos that will walk somebody through the different aspects of Windows 10, and it incorporates all of the features and enhancements that come with the Windows 10 Creators Update. Let's see, Microsoft Edge also has gone through a huge maturation in this build and in this release for the Creators Update, and one of the primary program managers has written about 3,000 words about what they've done in Edge over the last 8.5 months of preparing Redstone 2, which is now the Creators Update. So you definitely want to go check that out. Edge continues to be my daily driver. I even have watched on social media as others have been able to pick up Edge this time now and talk about its maturity and its stability and how it's working so much better. So you got Edge updates. New creativity apps, a lot of new unique capabilities for Surface Dial and new apps that have been brought onto Windows 10 so that you can use the Dial even more. Of course, you saw my unboxing of that, my initial impressions of it. I've got it paired with Surface Book. This thing is made, though, to help you. You got to learn how to be a two-handed OS user, and I don't do that very well. I do the mouse, and I do touching the screen with the same hand, but I've never quite adapted to having that second device. So it's something I have to work on because it's a whole new form of muscle memory to figure out how what that does for you first off and how to use it when you're just actively using your device. Oh, let's see. Windows 10 Creator Update. I discovered now, As I discovered this, and it was like, why have I never heard about this before? Why have I never seen this written up before? And as I started to reach out and do my research and look for it, I couldn't find any evidence that anybody had written about this thing I found. And so I contacted a couple people directly on Twitter, one person from the Windows Shell team and a couple other Microsoft enthusiasts who I know follow the builds very closely, and could not quite tie down when this came about. So I wrote it up, did some screenshots, And that's when I got my story that called The New Modern Way to Clean Up Your Disk Drive. Now, one of the recommendations you'll see from me and from many, many others when it comes to build-to-build updates, if you're an insider, you do a lot of build-to-build updates, which means each time you've got a very large chunk of your hard drive space taken up by the previous install of Windows. Now, that's fine on a 130 or 200 or 400 gigabyte hard drive. If you're on a 32 gigabyte tablet, not very good. That's a lot of space eaten up, and you have to get rid of it. So the kind of standard one each recommendation has always been to use the disk cleanup program, which is basically a software program that's part of Windows. And that works fine. And then you have some features in Windows 10 that have already, a new one called Storage Sense, which will automatically manage temporary files related to apps, and it will automatically empty your recycle bin every 30 days, although I don't think emptying the recycle bin for most users is an issue. Well, what I found was, and it's not very intuitive, did you know when you're looking at, when you go to Windows Settings app and you click on System and you click on Storage, it shows you your installed hard drives. Did you know that you can click on one of those? It's not obvious by the UI, but you can click on that and then you will get a summary of all the files that are installed on that hard drive, that are present on that hard drive, and they'll be categorized. And one of the categories is Temporary. And if you click on Temporary, and you can click on any of these categories, by the way, to see what is contained within that. But if you click on Temporary, you find out that there's the same options for getting rid of files that you can do disk cleanup with are built right into the Windows Settings storage settings. So there's option for emptying your downloads folder, which is a bonus. There's options for emptying temporary files. There's options for getting rid of old previous Windows builds. Now, normally, these days, on a build-to-build upgrade, Microsoft, about 10 days after you're upgraded, will tag that data for deletion. It's not automatic. It's not right away. It just is tagged for deletion at some point during a maintenance cycle that Windows 10 does. Well, you can use this feature in the Windows Settings storage settings to do the same thing that the disk cleanup can do. So it's another point that we've seen a lot of movement in the Redstone 2 update, i.e. Creators update, to bring a lot of the functionality from the control panel, the legacy control panel, into the Windows Settings app, the modern Windows Settings app. And the big one there is troubleshooters, for instance. And we're seeing that happen with more and more stuff. So this could very well be another step towards that direction in finally deprecating the disk cleanup program that's part of Windows and making it part of the Settings app, which I think is terrific. And it should work very well. It worked well for me. I tested it on two or three systems, and it works extremely well. So I highly recommend that you check that out. I've got screenshots of the process so that you can figure out how to get there, and that you start using that as your new method of cleaning up your hard drive. So good luck and check that down, and it's pretty neat to see. Windows Defender Security Center and Antivirus, big, big overhaul in Windows 10 Creators Update. The Windows Defender Security Center is its own app with multiple pages for settings, including family settings, browser protections. Anything and everything related to security on your device is there in the Windows Defender Security Center. And then, of course, you've got the antivirus aspect of the software running to protect your system as well. So, as I wrote in this story, the combination of that and smart computing habits, not clicking on stuff you shouldn't be clicking on and things of that nature, I've been protected by Windows Defender and, prior to that, Microsoft Security Essentials, which is where Defender came from, for a very long time. And I don't use other antivirus software. It just works very well, and I've been doing that on all my systems. So I definitely recommend you go check this out. I got a huge gallery there to show you the different screenshots. Even family settings are listed there. It still links out to the Microsoft account pages to do those settings, but I do believe at some point, maybe in Redstone 3, that family settings are finally going to return to within the OS, which is like they were in Windows 8, 8.1. And then this past week, as an addition on Microsoft on Xbox, you can actually now control some of the family hours and child account hours through the console. So I see this kind of coming together, and at some point, those settings are going to be right there in the OS, which I know a lot of people love that in Windows 8 and 8.1. Let's see. Oh, this was a really cool feature that Microsoft just kind of suddenly put on and made available to Xbox Insiders. I know initially it was released to the preview ring users, which I'm part of, but it's a self-service digital refund feature. that on certain games and apps, both on Windows 10 and Xbox One, you can request a refund of that software, that purchase. Now, there are some caveats. To give you the basic overview of caveats, one, you have to have downloaded it and launched the app or game. Two, you cannot have more than 2 hours of game time or usage across all platforms that you have it installed on or accessible on. And then there are some, you can't get rebates, you can't get refunds for like downloadable content, add-ons, and things of that nature. And it does have a caveat that says some apps and games aren't eligible. I don't know how they're going to mark that, how they're going to note that, but I did this as a test with a PayPal account. And even it wasn't turned on initially in the first 24 hours, but when it turned on, it worked like a champ. And then when I tried to run that game again on the console, I got an alert that said this game is no longer licensed because you asked for a refund or canceled or something like that, and you have to delete it. So it works extremely well, getting a lot of attention over on Reddit in the PS4 forum. The PS4 users for Sony's PS4 are very envious of this feature. You know, I wrote in my 2017 predictions, actually my last 2 years worth of predictions, I wrote that I thought we needed a digital marketplace. We buy so many things digitally these days that what do you do when you make a purchase that you regret? Either regret it because the game's not what you expected or it doesn't fit or whatever. I always thought we needed a place to be able to sell those licenses digitally. You make it so that the creators and the people in the middle get their piece of the pie so they're not missing out. And this actually addresses that concern for me. If I have the option I know that a game is not for me or an app is not for me, but very quickly, usually within 30 minutes, but definitely within 2 hours. So with this kind of a feature for requesting refunds, I think this is tremendous and brilliant on Microsoft's part. Yes, I know I got pointed out on Twitter that Steam already does this, so how could this be a brilliant thing? I think it's brilliant they brought it to their console. They didn't even bring it to their console. They also brought it to Windows 10. So now you have these options to be able to fix those regrettable purchases. Because sometimes there's no longer a requirement for trials like there was on Xbox 360. So, you know, sometimes you don't get to try a game before you buy it. I like this. I think it's a great feature, and I can't wait until you guys get it and you get a chance to check it out. Oh, let's see. How did we end up the week? The week was pretty busy, right? Patch 2. Last Friday, we had our first PC build for Redstone 3, build 16170. Tuesday rolled around. We had Patch Tuesday. We had the end of Vista support officially on the 11th of April as well on Patch Tuesday. We had the official start of the rollout of the Creators Update to all the users out there via Windows Update. And then at the end of the week, Microsoft, out of the blue, pushed out new Redstone 3 builds to the testers on the Windows Insider Fast Ring. So we got our second PC build. It was build 16176. Still not a whole lot of changes in this. Don't expect it to be a transformational update. They're still doing some of their core work to prepare for developers to be able to start checking in new features. And you do remember last week, I think it was last week, maybe it wasn't, but there are evidences of My People, which is a feature that was supposed to be in Creators Update that was demoed last October at the launch event in New York City. There are evidence of that in the early builds. Build 16170, for instance, has it. I haven't heard about 176 yet, but I'm sure it's there. Nobody has said how to turn it on yet, but the framework is there. So we know that they're working on that. With the mobile build, here's where we go a little bit kind of off the track, in a sense, a diversion away from the PC side. So we know that the PC build was 16176. The mobile build, now don't forget, April 25th, I wrote about that this week. April 25th is the rollout for Windows 10 Mobile Creators Update. That will that is still coming. That's still going to be build 15063, and then it'll be a cumulative update that day, probably .138, that will bring it up to speed. But for Windows 10, Windows Mobile Insiders, for the folks that are now wanting to test Redstone 3 or to get the Creators Update on their handsets, this is an important release yesterday, and you have to be paying attention, and you got to go read the list, because here's what's happened. They have earlier this week I wrote the story about Windows 10 Mobile coming out on April 25th, and I talked about a set of handsets that Mary Jo Foley had gotten a hold of from a source that said that that was going to be the officially supported list of devices. Of course, that started everybody in a tizzy and concerns about what device this, what device that. Windows 10 Mobile's dead. It's death knell. Why don't they just say it? I mean, the reaction is unreal. Well, we had more of that yesterday. And the reason we had more of that yesterday is because it looks like that list that Mary Jo Foley had was very accurate in that sense. So I'm going to pull this up real quick and run through. It's only 13 handsets, folks. Only 13 Windows 10 Mobile handsets or handsets will be supported for the Windows 10 Creators Update and going on in the Xbox Insider program to test Redstone 3. So those devices are the HP Elite X3, the Microsoft Lumia 550, the Microsoft Lumia 640 and 640 XL, the Microsoft Lumia 650, the Microsoft Lumia 950 and 950 XL, the Alcatel Idol 4S, the Alcatel OneTouch Fierce XL, the SoftBank 503 LV, the Vio PhoneBiz, Mouse Computers Madosma Q601, and the Trinity Nuance NeoPhone. That is it. If you have one of those devices, you will be able to get the final build of the Creators Update. And if you choose to, you'll be able to enroll and start taking on Windows Redstone 3, which is the next feature update coming out this fall. Early builds for that. Now, it's an interesting list, and I talked about this the other day when I wrote my initial story about mobile. The Lumia 640 and 640 XL were sold with Windows Phone 8.1 on them, but were advertised as ready for Windows 10 or Windows 10 capable. I think that's why they're on the list, even though they match some of the specs of some of the older Lumias that have been removed from the supported list. And then I think everything else on that list came out with Windows 10 on it. So it's not as if they're older, they're older Windows Phone 8.1 devices or 8 devices. It hurts. I get it. You know, I'm not on Windows 10 Mobile anymore. I'm on an Android because the app gap was just too much for me. Now, there are some interesting things to pay attention here. All right. Now, Donna Sarkar did say if you are on one of the unsupported devices, you can continue to run the final Creators Update testing build, Insider build, on the release preview ring, and you would continue to get the cumulative updates that come out each month during the support life of that device. So you can still run, but you're not going to get into the new build. So that final Windows 10 Creators Update is 15063. It's the same build that's going to be released to the officially supported handsets on the 25th of April. The only exception will be is that you cannot then take your device and go into the Xbox Insider program and take fast ring builds for Redstone 3. There was another little change that happened with this kind of diversion between the PC side and the mobile side. We know that Microsoft is building Redstone 3 now. That's where we're headed for the fall update, the fourth major update to Windows 10. That build that came out yesterday, 16176 and 16170 from the week before, are both out of the Redstone pre-release development branch. The build that was released yesterday for mobile is 15204. Yes, it's still Redstone 3. Brandon LeBlanc confirmed that to somebody in a comment on Twitter, but it is out of the Feature 2 branch, development branch. So it's a different development branch. It's not coming out of Redstone. Does that mean anything specific? I don't know. I don't know enough about the Microsoft engineering system and how they manage builds and builds in development, builds in release, and all that kind of stuff. I'm of the mind that this could very well just mean, I mean, the reason they gave in the official release notes for these builds being released yesterday was that this is the result, the difference in the builds, and this is a direct quote, this is a result of more work we're doing to converge code into one core, the heart of Windows across PC, tablet, phone, IoT, HoloLens, Xbox, and more, as we continue to develop new improvements for Windows 10 Mobile and our enterprise customers. So they're both development branches. So Windows 10 Mobile is still in development. It's still going to be developed for Redstone 3, this fall feature update. And, you know, sure, we don't know what this diversion in the build. Here's something. People have been talking about the fact that Windows 10 Mobile has not been getting all the same features that Windows 10 on PC does. One big glaring one is Nightlight, for instance. You know, the blue light removal that allows you to use your device late in the evening and not have your brainwaves on overdrive. Well, that's not on mobile. It's not been brought to mobile. Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe Microsoft has been working around a limitation within the the code in Windows 10 Mobile that has prevented them from truly making Windows 10 Mobile on these devices a match, more than just distant cousin to the desktop's version. So we see a lot of overlap. And in fact, in this first build for 15204 on mobile, we get the privacy questionnaire through the out-of-box experience after the upgrade. So that's something we got on Windows 10 Creators Update. So there are some capabilities to have similar features on both sides, and we've seen that over the course of development of Redstone 2. But, you know, I'm not in the code. I don't understand the code. I don't understand the engineering stuff. So maybe there is truly a need for them to diverge right here in order to do some work on the mobile side that will bring it fully capable, because we've heard the rumors. We've heard the rumors of Windows 10 on ARM. We've heard that and how that's going to function. You know, we've heard those rumors. We don't know where they're going. But, you know, the reality is maybe there is truly, maybe this is not a death knell for Windows 10 Mobile. That's how a lot of fans and enthusiasts are interpreting it, and they're like, why doesn't Microsoft just come out and tell us that Windows 10 is dead? You know, removing handsets from being supported that are as old as the ones are that they've removed is not unreasonable here, you know, because anytime Microsoft has to support older hardware, that means that is their minimum capability point. They are not able to take advantage of higher specs and higher capabilities and faster devices because they always have to code to the lowest common denominator. If you've ever heard the comment that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, that's the same concept here. I personally think that this is not what everybody's interpreting it as a death knell for Windows 10 Mobile. I honestly think this is Microsoft making a move at the break in development, right, from releasing the Creators Update and moving towards Redstone 3, for them to truly tackle this limitation in mobile, because if they want Windows 10 Mobile on ARM or Windows 10 on ARM, it's the mobile interface we're going to use. I believe that every bit. It's not going to be a desktop interface unless you plug in and pull out Continuum, right, into a larger monitor, keyboard, mouse, and all that stuff. So I think this is a valid move by Microsoft. I think we got to give them a chance on it. You know, everybody's interpreting what they've said as business speak or business code for something else. Everyone's convinced they're just putting their foot on the throat of Windows 10 Mobile. I don't buy it. I honestly believe that there's a reason why they've had this diversion, and it is not related to killing off Windows 10 Mobile. So, all right, off of my soapbox about that, I'm sorry, but I truly believe they are making a move here in order to improve how things move in the future. Let's see. I wanted to add one other caveat. Yesterday, Donna Sakar appeared on the Windows Central podcast with Dan Rubino and Zach Bowden, and she was asked about mobile, and she made a great comment about mobile that I think we all have to take note of. And this is her quote: mobile is about more than the devices you carry around in your pocket. And you might remember me discussing that Redstone 3 should be the mobility update. And because mobility is more about mobile devices or mobile phones, it's about the mobility of the experience, which is a common phrase Satya Nadella uses. And it is about the mobility of our data, getting it from device to device to device. Wouldn't you like to have a cleaner sync and share of settings and stuff like that? So I think that comment to me leads back to what I just said about the diversion of the development branches, and that they are truly doing some work on the mobile side that is going to make that a more robust OS on those types of devices than we get right now. Okay, so now I'm off my stool there. Okay, let's go on down the list here. Oh, by the way, with the release of new Redstone 3 builds, that means both of our trackers on the Supersite are live and active. So we have a Redstone 3 build tracker for PCs. We have a Redstone 3 build tracker for mobile. I've got links in the show notes. But if you go to winsupersite.com and look right below the hero image on the right, there are links to those two trackers. And this cycle, I'm going to track more data relating to when builds come out, when they move to different rings, and keeping track of the pace of things, because the pace has gotten crazy fast. We've had two build releases now for Redstone 3, the next update to Windows 10, and one of them came out even before the official release of the Creators Update. So the foot is on the gas. They are moving quick. So get on board. I hope you got your system in the right place, because I recommend you. I'm down to one hard bare metal device testing the fast ring for PC, and I've got two VMs, one for home, one for pro, that are testing the fast ring. Other than that, everything in my house and in my VM collection is on current branch Creators Update. All right. Next thing, let's talk a little bit about this event that got announced for May, in early May. I got an invite on Thursday to this event on the 2nd of May, and I will be up in New York. I'm flying up on the 1st, and I'll be there for the event on the 2nd. I had, at the same time that invite came out, I was working on a story about Joe Belfiore's return to Microsoft, public return. So what you have here, Joe Belfiore has come back to Microsoft publicly. He's actually tweeting now. He hasn't tweeted since November. And in an interview with Mashable that appeared on Thursday or Wednesday, he talked about he's working on Shell, which we'd heard before, monetizing Shell. Remember that whole thing. And he's the education sponsor within the Windows and Devices group. And he's still involved in building hardware. New and creative devices was the way it was phrased in the Mashable article by Lance Ulanoff. So I think Joe's return, Joe being more public and voicing, I also know that he's on the Shell team and leading the Shell team because two members of the Shell team that I follow on Twitter tweeted, "Oh my goodness, finally we can say who we work for. I'm glad this is out." So we know that Joe is leading the Shell team, which means he's also likely leading the C Shell team, which is the adaptable shell that everybody's been talking about that is leading to the future of Windows 10 on various devices. So you've got Joe Belfiore coming out of hiding. By the way, when he was building Windows mobile hardware, he would disappear off Twitter while he was building hardware. Panos Panay does the same thing. All right, so you got Joe B coming back. You got Joe B talking in an interview about being tied to education and Windows. All right, even got some asked some questions about Windows 10 mobile, or I'm sorry, Windows 10 and its competitor and competing against Chromebook, and could there be a thin version of Windows 10? And he said there's not going to be a version of Windows 10 that does not run rich apps from the Windows Store. All right, there's another hint. We've got the invite coming out the next day to this early May event in New York City. And it uses a hashtag Microsoft EDU. That's Microsoft Education. Joe Belfiore is the education sponsor within the Windows and Devices group. All right, got that so far? Now, there's an event going to occur, which there's just too much of this is not, a coincidence. You've got Joe B popping up. You got Joe B working education. And all of a sudden, we got an education-related launch event in New York City. I'm telling you, this is not a coincidence. This is all together. This is all tied up in one nice, neat little bow that will get answered on the 2nd of May. But I truly believe, and I wrote this, that I suspect that rumored Surface laptop, I think DigiTimes called it, or clamshell, is going to this Windows 10 cloud that we saw evidence of a few months ago. I think that's all tying together. I think you're talking about Windows 10 cloud, run apps from the store. It's. I won't call it a repeat of Windows RT, but I think people are more ready to have a sandboxed version of Windows 10 than they were to have Windows in Surface sandbox that it was. People didn't understand. It was the first launch of Windows 8, and so there was a lot of confusion. So I think this is going to help with that. I did hear Zach Bowden and Dan Rubino on their Windows Central podcast talk yesterday that they believe, based on some sources, that the device that Microsoft is going to announce, which will be a clamshell Surface type device, I believe too, will be able to be upgraded to Windows 10 Pro if you have a license for Windows 10 Pro. So, or you can stick with the limitation. I really love this. I think this is a great opportunity, not only in education, but I think a lot of people are going to want this device. We'll find out in a couple weeks, but way too many coincidences within a 48 hour period for them not to all be connected. All right, so Steve Ballmer, let's talk about a few of my other little bits and pieces. Steve Ballmer popped up in the news again today, being interviewed by several tech, or the story being repeated by several tech websites, talking about how he would have done Windows Phone differently. He's gone paperless. He loves the Amazon Echo. So they're talking to him about his tech life and things like that. But of course, you always have these situations where former CEOs get asked, hey, how would you do things differently? So it's interesting reading to see that. On the Xbox side of things, a little bit more about Xbox. Project Scorpio, the most powerful place to create and play. Now Microsoft handed another website. This was Gamasutra that got an exclusive about the developer hardware kit for Project Scorpio. Includes some pictures and images and stuff like that, and details about what the kit is. And then Microsoft came out after that was released and said E3 is when you'll see it and when you'll hear about all the new games and stuff on it. So that is now 2 weeks in a row that two different websites have gotten exclusives about Project Scorpio. And Microsoft, it's impressive that way ahead of the June E3, Microsoft is out getting this information out in the public, out talked about, instead of just kind of rolling it all out at E3 all at once. This is, something tells me that this is a smart move, and it's going to make a big impact on this next generation device. And then also, along with Windows 10 Creators Update being released officially on this past Tuesday, the Xbox Creators Update came out, version 1704. So we've had two releases over the last couple weeks for Xbox. You had 1703, which contained some of the features, and then this past Tuesday, version 1704 came out for the Xbox One console, and that's kind of two levels now of Creators Update. Beam streaming, game mode, all kinds of other features on both Windows 10 and the console have come out now, and the Xbox Insider previews continue with, for instance, that self-service refund option. Also Friday morning, custom gamer picks on the Xbox One console. You are no longer stuck using your avatar, that little Xbox avatar you can create. You're no longer stuck using that. You can now consolidate, have the same image on all your... I do that. I use the same image across all systems I'm logged into that use an image or an avatar. And I was able to do that, showed you how, did a step-by-step of the process on the console to show you how to upload your own custom gamer pick. Right now, it's not compatible with OneDrive, but OneDrive is on Xbox One, and I fully expect that that will get supported at some time in the near future. So they continue to be very, very aggressive in getting builds out to the Xbox One Insiders and the various rings. So if you're testing, make sure you're looking for those new features. There's no word yet on when those features will be formally released to everybody, but it could be anytime. Could be next Patch Tuesday. All right, so that's a little bit of Xbox news. For you Windows IT Pro folks out there, just wanted to give you a heads up that first off, Windows 10 version 1507, that is the original release of Windows 10 in July of 2015. Microsoft has now confirmed that on 9 April, next month's Patch Tuesday, in about 3.5 weeks, that version of Windows 10, if you are running it in the corporate environment as current branch for business, it is going to roll off and no longer be serviced. So no more security updates or any feature updates. Well, you can take feature updates because you can move forward to a feature update. That's the one benefit Microsoft has done with Windows as a service, is that you can move up to the next supported current branch for business. So be aware, if you are still back out there on that first version of Windows 10, you need to look at your upgrade. This is going to be the norm. This is the first time with Windows 10 and Windows as a service that we've had a version of Windows 10 roll out of current branch and roll to end of servicing. So Windows 10 may be supported for many years down the road, but these individual updates and releases are only going to be supported for somewhere in a ballpark of about a year and a half or so, give or take, depending on the pace of updates. So you need to be aware of that. Also for you IT pros out there, the Windows 10 Creators Update admin template package was updated and made available for download so that you can have templates to take advantage of new group policy settings that are part of the Creators Update. And then they also made the Windows 10 Creators Update eval version of Windows 10 Enterprise available that you could download for a 90-day test. Slack is still trying to compete and give features that are, Teams is getting a lot of uptake right now. Google's offering is also getting a lot of uptake with their current subscribers. So now Slack has added some new menu features as it continues to try to take on Microsoft and Google in this huge team collaboration market. I think another feature they added was away statuses. Remember the old AIM, the AOL Instant Messenger? They've now added this away stat where you can update your away status and either be very specific about where you're at or be kind of funny about where you're at and not online. Google Home. Do you heard about this Burger King commercial that activates your Google? If you have a Google Home at home, it activates that device so that it then gives you more information after it hears the commercial on TV or online on a computer or anywhere you're playing it out loud near your Google Home. A lot of response to that. Google killed it, wouldn't let it happen anymore. Burger King pulled the commercial. But it's a great viewpoint about, we all have these digital devices now, these digital assistants on our phones, on our laptops, on our tablets, on our desktops. Where does it stop? If I'm watching a video online, am I okay with that video activating my device? That's a very slippery slope there. So that is going to continue to get a lot of discussion, no doubt about that. Talking about ad blockers, I came across this. I don't know why I got linked to The Atlantic, but I ended up on The Atlantic's website trying to look at something, and they pop up and tell you, look, if you're an ad blocker, you got to pay $4 a month or $40 a year for an ad-free version of our site. And they estimated that blocking cost them, what's the number? $3.4 million in 2016, that ad blockers cost them that much in revenue. Now, this is starting to become more and more of a norm. There are some sites now, if you show up with an ad blocker, if you don't whitelist them, you don't get access. I've been approaching that by saying, okay, I'll get the data from the information from somewhere else, because in the digital tech world, we live in an echo chamber. So there's plenty of echo out there for me to get the gist of what you were going to tell me. And then this sense that you've got, you know, not giving you an option or not giving you X number of articles to try out or something like that each month. This is an area that is going to come up a lot more. I see it more and more every day in my browsing. And you got to figure out somewhere in the middle that's going to work. I hope that the ad blockers is helping these sites clean up their ad act, reduce the number of trackers, reduce the exposure of their customers to all this stuff. But we'll see. Interesting story floated up this week as well about Apple. There's a website called Laptop Mag, and they do the best and worst laptops of best and worst laptop brands of 2017. And this came out on April 10th. Well, do you know that Apple fell from the top to the fifth spot? Number one on the list, Lenovo, followed by Asus, Dell, HP, and Acer. These are all companies that, if you've been paying attention, have really been getting creative with their form factors, with their devices, and how they're supporting and kind of exposing all these new features on Windows. After Apple, you have MSI, Razer, Samsung, and Microsoft, number 10 on the list. So Microsoft's Surface devices also getting in the top 10 of the best and worst brands of 2017. So interesting to see the climbs, no doubt. 2015, Lenovo was number 6 on this list, and they have climbed in 2 years to the top spot. And from last year, they moved up 3 spots. Microsoft fell a few spots, but you got to remember also, Microsoft has not had, except for Samsung or Surface Studio, Microsoft has not had a new laptop type or tablet release since the fall of 2015 when Surface Book came out and Surface Pro 4. So we'll see what happens with that. But I just thought, and there's great explanation along with each one of them showing their scores. So you definitely want to go check out that story. Front lines of tech. Oh, I list this here because I love these startups and these companies that are doing things to help vets go from being a military service member to getting involved in community and in the public service in whatever. And this is another company. Microsoft does a very, very solid program in this way. But this is another called Bunker Labs, and they are really helping vets move from their military service into startups and stuff like that. So I love that they are really trying to take on this type of audience and get these folks involved, because you got to know, vets don't do a 9-to-5 thing. They don't have 9-to-5 in their head. They will do whatever they have to do whenever they have to do it. It doesn't matter. We're just not wired that way. Most of us are not wired that way to just kind of go 9-to-5. So I think it's great that companies are starting to work on that. Okay, so last two things I have for you as a reminder. Windows Vista, not supported anymore. I know there aren't a lot of people on Windows Vista out there, but it is no longer supported. Last Tuesday was the last batch of updates it's going to get. So the next time a vulnerability is exposed, you got to make sure that you're deciding to upgrade from Windows Vista. I am going to test an upgrade of a VM from Windows Vista to Windows 10 and see if it works. It won't work with the upgrade in place. I have to use the ISO, and I'll see if I can activate it with the same code. So I'm doing that. With Windows Vista going to out of update or security, with Windows Vista leaving its lifecycle support cycle this past Tuesday, you've got to still realize that Windows 7 is next. Less than 3 years, January 2020, Windows 7 reaches that same point. And believe me, just look at how Microsoft is handling Windows 10 and Windows as a service, and that the initial release of Windows 10, the version 1507, that was released in July of 2015, in next month is going to get its last set of security patches. And that means the November update becomes the lowest common denominator for updates with Windows 10. And when Redstone 3 comes out this fall, 2 months later, the November update falls off. And that cycle just keeps going. When the newest comes out, the oldest falls out of support 60 days later. This is the new norm. You got to get used to it. So Windows 7 has got less than 3 years left in support. So you got to be thinking forward. You got to be thinking about that migration in Windows 10. So until then, stay safe out there. Make sure you got all your software up to date. And we will see you next week for episode 226. Take care.